believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Liberia, came to America in 1983, and earned a Master of Divinity at Duke Divinity School and a doctorate in theology at United Theological Seminary. Since 1989, he's held various senior pastoral and administrative leadership positions with the United Methodist Church in Southeast Michigan. Since 2022, he's been the senior pastor of First United Methodist Church. His name, Reverend Dr. Charles Bouye, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Bouye. Doctor, welcome, an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
As we get ready to celebrate another Christmas, can you lead us in an opening prayer? First, Doctor, in your native tongue, and then in English.
What I call is Zubo. Lazi is a vo bonda kuwea. Doka kosensen kuwala Zubo pie, ziza wen. Izu, da idabe no kolea a toya. Won ko sensen geziza toyi. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ into the world to offer us a lifeline of salvation. We praise you in this season of Christmas for what he did and is doing throughout human history. May his name be praised above every name in heaven and earth. We ask all these and many blessings in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Bouye. Reverend, you grew up in Liberia. Tell us about Liberia.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's good to be here with you. I was born in Liberia. Liberia is the oldest independent republic on the African continent and the second oldest such in the world, next to Haiti. It was established in 1822 by free American black slaves who were seeking freedom and were aided by leaders in this country, in the United States, white and black and others who believe in human freedom and work out a way to set them free. And since they couldn't be free in America at the time, it was prior to the U.S. Civil War and all of that, they were sent to Africa at their own will to be free. And so Liberia was born by people seeking freedom who had returned home from slavery, and native Africans who never left Africa, who themselves were seeking freedom from colonialism. And that was Liberia declaring independence in 1847. On July 26, 1847, Africa got its first republic, Liberia, named Liberia from the word liberty, and the seal says on it, the love of liberty brought us here.
All right, let's go to 1980, Liberia. What happens?
Well, 1980, after so many years of freedom and mismanagement of the economy, of the politics of the nation, a rebellion from the military, the lower ranks of the military, happened in 1980 in April, which led to a coup d'etat with a violent execution of the president in the executive mansion. The vice president, who had just left the night before, for a meeting in the United States was spared. That bloodbath plunged Liberia into what would become a civil war 10 years later.
At age 23, 1983, you come to America and you enroll at Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach. That wasn't Liberia. How and why did you come to America?
Well, I came to America through a scholarship that was offered to me by this historically black university, Bethune-Cookman, by its president, who had visited Liberia for a church conference and seen me there as a youth leader in the Methodist Church in Liberia. He thought that I could make a difference and make a contribution to the church. And so he offered me a scholarship because at the time, the military, which had taken over in 1980, shut down the University of Liberia, where I was a student, indefinitely. And so we were just sitting there until the scholarship came. So I came because of that scholarship and to advance my education, to get my first degree and hopefully pursue graduate education, which I did later.
After graduating undergrad, you then go to Duke University. How and why?
Well, I did not want to be a pastor until I went to Duke. I wanted graduate education in business to do some business work for the church in Liberia. And so between my graduation from Bethune and going to Duke, I did 2 years of an MBA at Florida Southern College, a Methodist school on the west side of Florida in Lakeland, where the Detroit Tigers go for their camp. And then went to Duke from there. On a scholarship offered by a Methodist church, First United Methodist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Unsolicited, the pastor came and talked to me. He said, you should go to seminary. And when I agreed to do so, he said, we will pay if you do. So his prompting led me to do something I had shied away from, that is to go to seminary to become a pastor. And Duke proved to be a wonderful place to prepare for pastoral ministry over the next 3 years.
And you've helped tens of thousands of people because of that. When we come back, we're going to ask Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou about Christmas. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou. Since 1989, he's held various senior pastoral and administrative leadership positions with the United Methodist Church throughout Southeast Michigan. We celebrate Christmas in a couple days. There's this guy named Joseph, who never says one word in the Bible. He's betrothed, and she tells him one day, Joseph, honey, I'm with child. I'm pregnant. Talk about Joseph.
Well, I tell you, Joseph was an amazing man. The Bible says he was a righteous man, a devout man, believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when you believe in God, anything is possible. And so he got engaged to Mary, to be married. And when Mary told him that she was pregnant, it was devastating. Just imagine which human being engaged to his spouse-to-be would love to hear that she's already pregnant when he had nothing to do with it. The Bible says that Joseph intended, after hearing this sad news, intended to break off the engagement. But to do it in a way that was dignified, because he was a righteous man. He did not want to scandalize Mary, but he was going to do it quietly under the radar and just separate until the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream, disclosing to him God's plan. And when he heard that, he changed, you know, and proceeded to marry Mary and is credited for being the man who helped Mary to raise this child who would be the savior of the world. In my book, and in the annals of human history, Joseph was a great man.
All right, the savior of the world. They go to Bethlehem. And the savior of the world is born in a pig trough. Why?
You know, I have to be honest. I don't know why, but I have some theories about it. Because God's ways are mysterious at best to the human mind. It could be that God wanted to tell us that anything is possible with God. It could be also that God wanted the world to know that you don't have to come from riches to be of value, of significance. That you could be used by God coming from anywhere. That God can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things with them. And that was a message that the world really needed at the time and at all times, even today, that anybody can be great. Anybody can do extraordinarily. And that Jesus becomes a great example of that and an inspiration to all who feel down and out.
Speaking of anybody, What does God want from each of us for Christmas?
God's one life for all of us. And what I mean by that is God wants us not only to live in this mortal state, but to project our lives towards the glory of God so that we would never die. I think that is the most important thing God wants for us, that we may have life and have it in abundance.
This Jewish carpenter, We all agree there was a Jewish carpenter named Jesus. I think we all agree he was a great prophet. Some think that's all he was. Others, like yourself, think he's the Messiah. Why do you, doctor, think that this Jewish carpenter and believe Jesus was the Messiah?
Well, you know, the scriptures disclose prophecy long before Jesus emerged in the flesh that he would come. And all of the prophecy as to the lineage that he would come out of were fulfilled in Jesus. Historically, he is the Messiah. When you study everything that was said, that even some who don't consider him the Messiah believed before he emerged that he is the Messiah. The scriptures also bear witness to that. And when he was born, we are even told that the stars in the sky bore witness to where the Savior of the world had been born. And so I believe it, and that faith has never let us down.
We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou. If you want to learn more, www.gatheredwithad.org. gatheredwithad.org. All right, doctor, Christmas is a time of great joy or great sadness. If there's a listener listening that's really down and out, for whatever reason, what do you say to that person?
Don't give up. God is not finished with you yet. The last chapter of your life is yet to be written, and it is a glorious chapter. God wants to work with you to make it so, and it is within reach. That is the message of Christmas, that God so loved the world, that God gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help is here, this season and for all times, if you will only reach for it. And Jesus is that help. In him is life. And the life becomes the light of the world. And so, let us draw closer to him. And in doing so, we will find the life that we need and we seek. And nothing will hold us down.
We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that in 1989, he came to Detroit. And he went and lived two blocks north of the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. We'll talk about that chapter of his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Reverend Dr. Charles Boyeau. Since 2022, he's been the senior pastor of First United Methodist Church on Maple Road in Birmingham. But before we get there, 1989, you come to Detroit. You live two blocks away. Mm-hmm. When you walked into the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building to do this, what did you think, Doctor?
Well, I remember in 1989, I drove my Subaru hatchback from Durham, North Carolina, at Duke University by myself. I was still single, even though I was engaged to be married, and drove up all the way to Michigan, right to Detroit, and lived two blocks away from here. I was amazed. Detroit was the largest city I had ever lived in for more than 2 weeks. It was massive. Nothing like it in Liberia. I mean, I could not even tell when I left Detroit and went into Birmingham or Ferndale, because the city was so built into each other that I had never seen something like that in Liberia. In Liberia, you will travel and come to the outskirts of a town and go through some forest before another town emerges. So the first time I visited Birmingham to see a parishioner, I went past it all the way to Pontiac because I was looking for some forested area to leave Detroit before I emerged into Birmingham, and didn't find one until I got to Pontiac. So it was fascinating to be in such a large city. Back then, Detroit was economically challenged more than it is right now. So I also saw suffering, human suffering in a huge city. A city that had produced so much engine for the world, had poor people. And it was just surprising to me, because in Liberia, we believed that the United States had everything a person could need, until I came here and realized that human suffering is everywhere, even in great places.
All right, you convinced Elizabeth to come to America, marry you. You've moved her, I don't know, 7-8 times, all within the Southeast Michigan. How have you convinced her to move so often?
Well, I haven't really convinced her. She grew up as a Methodist. Her parents, in fact, her grandparents were Methodists first, then her parents and her family. So she was committed to the church. And although when we started dating, she told me, "I'm so happy you don't want to be a pastor, because I don't want to be a pastor's wife." And years later, when I became a pastor and she came up to get married to me, she was like, "What happened? I thought you promised me you wouldn't be a pastor." I said, "Yes, I did. But God changed it." So right now, if you have a problem, take it up with God, because I didn't want to be a pastor either. But God has changed the trajectory of my life, and I feel so good with it, and I want you to be there with me. And she's been there with me all along.
All right, from 1989 to prior to 2022, you've held various pastoral senior leaderships. Talk about that long chapter in your life.
Well, I tell you, I started here in Michigan, Metropolitan United Methodist Church, which is right around the corner from the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. Dr. Bill Quick was the senior pastor. He recruited me to come here. And I first came in 1988 as a summer intern from Duke Divinity School. And they thought I should come back when I graduated the following year. And I did not plan to come back, because I was going to go home. But that following year, the Civil War broke out in Liberia. I could not go back. And I did not want to stay and be illegal here, because if you overstay your visa category, you become illegal. So I then reached for coming to Michigan so that I don't become illegal. And I came and continue my work here, apply for a work visa, got it, and stayed, waiting for the war to end in Liberia, and it didn't end for 14 more years. By the time it ended, I had become ordained, and I was in my third move, serving as a pastor in southeastern Michigan. So it's been a wonderful time of God changing my life in directions I had not wanted or imagined, but direction that became my life. And I'm so grateful that I allow God to change my life.
All right, since 2022, you've been senior pastor, First Methodist Church, Maple Road, Birmingham. Talk about the history of that congregation.
I'll tell you, First United Methodist Church, Birmingham, now has a second campus in Berkeley. But this church began in Birmingham, went from a tavern, and I have here in the studio with me today two great friends who are longtime members of that church, Mr. Roger Cummings and his wife, Ms. Buff Cummings. These two are typical of the members of Birmingham First. These are well-accomplished American citizens who have made significant contributions to this nation from wherever they have lived and served, who have placed their life in the hands of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And Birmingham First is a resourceful church, over 2,000 members, all of them gifted. It's like a trough of resourcefulness for the glory of God. A church that thrives on great Christian music, working with young people, missions work locally in southeastern Michigan, nationally, and in places all around the world, in South America, the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, Africa, and all across North America. It is it's an opportunity that, I don't know, I guess in the mysteries of God, I was led there. And it's been a wonderful place to do ministry. It will be the last place I do professional Christian ministry before I retire. What a joy it is to have been called to Birmingham. And also, I want to note that this congregation grew and built a huge campus on West Maple, just west of downtown Birmingham. And I became their first non-Caucasian senior pastor. And I was a little concerned about how they would receive me. And I tell you, I was wrong. They've received me so well. And it bears witness to their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that with God, anything is possible. It is even possible for a large congregation, mostly Caucasian, to receive an African pastor with an accent and work with him.
And we're all the better for it.
Well, thank you.
We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou. If you want to learn more, www.gatheredhereforgood.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about why it is that many times the worst thing that ever happened to a person, ultimately, they come to realize it's the best thing that ever happened to them. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom,
The Little Liar. It's really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. He developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Boyu. In 1981, Doctor, Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. That's what most of the people think is the name of the book. Really, Roger, the name of the book is When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Why?
Well, thanks for that question. Maybe, Jack, why don't I answer the question by just saying a few things about the biblical parable of the prodigal son. Here was a father and two sons. The older son worked hard in the father's fields along with the servants who served there. The younger son was sort of lazier. He stayed home, enjoyed himself, and never made a sacrifice. Until one day, he decided he's going to break away from that family. And he demanded, I think rudely, shockingly, that his father divide up the property and give him his share, because he could do better on his own than with his family. His father proceeded to doing just that, giving him his share. He breaks away from the family and goes to a faraway country to live there. He does not give his father his whereabouts, so they would never be in touch with him again. He knew where his family was, but they knew nothing about where he had gone. With his wealth, he becomes popular in this faraway country. He forgets that now he's a refugee. He's an immigrant until his money is finished up and all his so-called friends desert him. He was of no use to them. A good, lazy boy in a faraway country. And so he, for the first time, went looking for a job and got it. It was the worst job that faraway country could give to an immigrant, to feed the pigs. One day, because he was on less than minimum wage, he could not pay his bills. He could not buy food. And now bad things were about to happen to a good, innocent boy. One day, he decided he would maybe save his little money for rent and other essentials by eating the leftover pig food. Now, you have to remember that in Jewish culture, pigs were the worst, the lowest of the low. And a human being was not to be serving pigs. This boy had hit rock bottom. And just before he ate his first pig leftover, the scriptures say, when he came to his senses, despite his waywardness, he had senses. God makes us with everything we need. How we use it now is up to us. He came to his senses and said to himself, what am I doing here when I have a father with whom, even as a servant, I will live a better life? And so he makes an apology. He writes an apology letter, puts it in his upper pocket, and begins to go back home. He knew how to get home. His father just didn't know where he was. And he gets home to a father embracing him while he's trying to apologize for all the havoc he had caused, the shame he had brought on his family, the rude behavior to a father who loved him so much. He came home, and his father, rather than listen to his apology, began to order the servants to go and prepare a big party, because this boy was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He's now found. Until his older brother heard the commotion and said, "Music at our house? This house is all about business. Why is music there?" So the boy came from the field, the older brother, and found out that his father was about to throw a big party for that boy, that rude boy, that wayward boy, that self-centered boy who had wasted everything. Now he's going to get a party that the older brother never even got a little bit of. He was indignant and confronted his father. "That your son went and wasted everything, and he comes back and this is how you treat him when you've never even threw a party for me?" And the father had to appeal to say, "You know, bad things happen to good people. And that's what happened to your brother. He was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found." The story of the prodigal son helps to explain why bad things happen to good people. Because in a world like this, that King David once called the valley of the shadow of death, bad things happen here. Not because God wants them to happen to us, but because we live in a broken world and we have free will. Sometimes the actions of others can become a problem for a good person. But every time good people suffer, God is reaching out to help them overcome bad things.
www.gatheredhereforgood.org. That was fantastic. One more homily, if you will. The good shepherd and the lost sheep. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go get this wayward sheep. With all due respect, doctor, that's crazy.
It will seem that way to a lot of people until you dig deeper into the text itself. The shepherd is responsible for all the sheep, not just the majority, not just the minority, but all of them. That's what makes the good shepherd good. And so, in that story, the good shepherd did not just leave the 99. The good shepherd secured them safely, took them to safety, and then said, "One is missing, and it's my job to find that one." And he goes out until he finds that one. The 99 were always safe before the good shepherd left. And it's a story about many realities on earth. Like, for example, God sent Jesus Christ to leave his throne above in heaven to come down and look for each one of us. Each one of us could be that lost sheep. And God loves us so much that God would leave the luxury and the glory of heaven to come down in a broken world to find even just me or someone listening to my voice today. That God loves you so much that this Christmas season, we are reimagining the birth or the emergence of the Savior of the world coming to look for you, for me, and for all of us. We are that important to God that God will leave the others securely and come until we are found. That's what Christmas is about. God reaching down to find you and me.
We're talking to Reverend Dr. Charles Boyou, who's been a fabulous salesperson for God for 36 plus years. Fabulous. What's the biggest thing you've learned being a minister these past 36 plus years?
One of the things I've learned is that I'm really not even a salesperson or a good one, but that God is. And that our work is to just introduce people to their own God, who already loves them before we got to know them. We are like matchmakers to introduce people to God. and God takes it from there. That's one thing I've learned, not to think more highly of myself than I think, because I'm not that good, but God is all good.
Life is a series of chapters. In another year or two, you're going to end a glorious chapter. And you already know what the next chapter is. Most of us don't. You've decided you and Elizabeth are going back to Liberia. Talk about the next chapter.
Yes, about 5 years ago, I spoke to my bishop, the United Methodist Bishop of Michigan, Bishop David Allen Bard, a wonderful man. And I said, Bishop, when my tenure ends as a district superintendent of the Greater Detroit District of the United Methodist Church, I want to retire because God is calling me to go back home to Liberia and do something there for God. And he said, what is that? I said, God is calling me to go and build a school of excellence for the children of Liberia to help rebuild that country following a 14-year civil war. So he said, well, I would like you to do one last thing before you leave. Can you go to Birmingham? They need a pastor. And after praying about it, I said, yes, Bishop, I will go where you send me, but I don't have much time in America before I go. So I came to Birmingham, and the people there are so amazingly committed to extending the kingdom of God on earth that is mesmerized me. And instead of the 1 year I thought I was going to Birmingham for, I'm now in my fourth year. I'm going to Liberia to work with children and young people in a nation where 67% of the population is under 30 years old, to raise up a new generation of God-loving and God-serving leaders to help raise that country to where it ought to be in the community of nations around the world.
You, sir, are a glorious example of a person letting go and letting God. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack, and praise be to God. Merry Christmas to all who are listening.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.